Well, I had the strangest thing going on. So, it's right down to the wire again. Lord, what am I going to preach on? And how many of you know that I don't feel a need to preach? I'm okay. I think everybody else in here could preach. You all have something. You could all hear from the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so it doesn't have to be me. And a matter of fact, I think it's super important that we break out of the model of going to church. Going to church has been the enemy of the church. It's been a strategy of the devil to persuade people to go to church. You believe me? You hear what I'm saying? It's a strategy of the devil to persuade people to go to church. Sounds like blasphemy, doesn't it? We've been hearing from the Holy Spirit that you cannot go to church. We are the church. You can't go to church. We are the church. So the devil is persuading people to fall into this model of going to church. I'm a person who goes to church. I punch in. I do my duty at church. I'm a good Christian. I go to church on Sunday morning. I go to church on Wednesday night. I go to prayer meeting. And you punch in, you punch out. But when we punch into Christianity, we punch into church and we punch into Bible study, that means we're punching out and going into the world. There's no way you can bring the kingdom with you if you're a church goer. Amen. We bring the kingdom with us because we are the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom comes through people, through the church.
Amen.
So, I'm really excited about, I'm okay with, if the Holy Spirit touches somebody in here, then you know what I'll do? I'll go right and I'll take your seat. And you can come right up here and you can speak what the Spirit has to speak to the church. So important that we break out of the model of what going to church is all about. Because we all have the ability to hear from the Holy Spirit. We all have the ability to speak forth the truth. Amen? So, this morning, though, I believe that the Holy Spirit did give me something. It was down to the wire. But he gave me this word, Selah. Have you ever heard of that word before, Selah? I think it's actually pronounced Selah. Selah. So, but I'm not a Hebrew scholar or anything like that. But so here's the definition of Selah, okay? A suspension. How many music players in here? You play music? You're familiar with music? A little bit? If you read music, there are these things that are called pauses and rests, okay? And this Selah is, there's part of the definition of that is a pause in the music. There, it was to the psalmist. There's a song and they're saying, okay, you sing this verse and then you pause and then you go into the next verse. It's that type of thing. But this pause also translates into when the person was saying something, you paused and you considered what was being said. To pause and to consider what was just spoken. All right? Super important. So, at first I'm like, what? This is the topic of the message? Selah, out of all the words in the Bible. How many read the Bible? You reading in the Bible? There's a lot of words in the Bible. And of all the verses, of all the scriptures, of all the books and the chapters, this is the word that God gives me to preach on. It's the little word, Selah. I mean, it didn't even mean anything. It's like, that wasn't even the context of what the scripture was about. It was just a little word. But I think that it has so much significance, and it's going to apply to us from this point forward in our life, if we will receive it and receive what the Holy Spirit's saying. And I pray right now that the Lord would anoint my words, Father, because I believe you've put the words in my heart. Amen. Out of the abundance of my heart, Lord God, your words would be spoken. Hallelujah. Father, we know you are faithful to look after your words and that none of them will fall to the ground. We believe that your words are good seed. Yes. And Father, I pray that this good seed would find a resting place in our hearts, Lord God. Father, that these seeds would spring forth with life in due season and bear fruit. Amen. There's no sense in us being hearers and hearers and hearers and hearers and hearers and hearers if it never comes to the point of doing. Amen? There needs to be the doing. So, Selah. Pause and think about what was just said. Okay, examples of Selah in the scriptures. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. That's enough, isn't it? That's a great scripture. I could have preached on that. Why didn't God give me that? But it's just this little word at the end of the scripture, Selah. Psalm 3:8. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah, Psalm 4:2. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah, Psalm 9:20. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalm 24:10. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Psalm 49:15. Selah. What would happen if you remove that short word? What would happen if we took that word out of the end of the psalm? Could it be that we'd move right to the next verse? All right, so I'm going to share briefly about the purpose of preaching, okay? And as any of you know, I'm a preacher on Sunday mornings, and I don't like to teach on Sunday mornings. There are some people who stand up on Sunday morning, and they're teachers. You know, anybody know a teacher?
Yes.
They teach. They break down all the words and so that everybody can understand. Nothing wrong with teachers. They're a gift. Teachers are a gift from God. For you and for me, that we would be thoroughly equipped. I like to teach, but I like to teach in other places. Sunday morning for me is a time of preaching. And so preaching, in my opinion, preaching is to be anointed, amen, in order to bring everyone into God's presence, and then he can do the work. Amen? How many have known a preacher that's trying to do the work? How many have known a preacher that's trying to convict you of your sin? How many know a preacher that's trying to encourage you? How many know a preacher who's trying, he's trying, or she's trying? How many have walked away from a preaching and you're not convinced of your sin? You're not encouraged? God, how many believe God is able? How many believe, have you ever had a sin in your life? And have you ever had God show you your sin?
Oh, yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is there anything like that? Nobody can do that. God is the only one who is able to bring you to the point of showing you your sin in a way that you can see it and you feel bad. How many have seen your sin and you felt bad? You know what I call it? A sin hangover. Oh man, I can't believe I did that.
Yes.
Oh man. You feel terrible when the Holy Spirit shows you your sin. That's a good thing. I wrote something once and it was how often am I going to do this thing? I sin. The Holy Spirit shows me my sin. I'm sorry about it. And he gives me the gift of repentance. The gift of repentance is a wonderful gift from God. Yes. It's the ability to be sorry.
Yes.
I don't want to ever come to the place where I don't feel bad about my sins. I want to feel bad. Heaven forbid, God forbid that I ever come to the place that I am okay, that I'm callous to it, that I can live in sin and be okay. I want to have a sin hangover when I am in sin. And I thank God for His mercy and His grace to just release to me and present to me the gift of repentance. I can receive that and I can say, I'm so sorry, Lord, and I want to get back on track. And He's so merciful and good to get me back on track again.
Oh, yes,
He does. You know how long it takes? 6 months or so, if you go to church regularly.
No.
You have to wait till Sunday morning in confession.
No.
When can you be forgiven? When can you have the conviction? When can you have the guilt removed? The twinkling of an eye, as soon as you say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Hallelujah. It's as far as the east is from the west. It's in the depths to be remembered no more. Thank God for His mercy and grace. Okay, I'm hoping for good preaching today. Is it anointed so far? I'm hoping. Come on. All right, preaching can have a prophetic quality. Have you ever been in a preaching when the preacher has said something and all of a sudden you went,
oh, yes.
I never saw that before. It's like, oh, the angels start going, the trumpets start. I never saw it like that. That's revelation. There's a prophetic quality. You might see something. The preacher might talk about something that's going on in the United States of America or in the world or what the Spirit's doing. There's a prophetic nature to some preaching. Preaching's also, for me, primarily a reminder of the things that God has spoken in the past. How many get tired of hearing the same old message? I mean, it happens. It's gonna happen. How many get tired of hearing about the virgin birth? How many get tired about hearing about the resurrection? How many get tired about hearing about the blood? I'm telling you, you're going to hear about it if you go to worship, if you go to hear preaching and teaching. You're going to hear about the blood more than once. I'm the type of person, I want to hear it once, and it's like, on we go, I got it. But what happens in our everyday life, we get off track. We start to become distracted with other things. And when we become distracted with other things, they get bigger and bigger and bigger till the point where you start focusing on them and it's occupying all of your attention. And then you go to an anointed preaching. It's like, oh, how did this happen? How did I get so far away? I used to think Jesus was the greatest thing and I just want to live for Jesus. You have some sort of missionary come and they speak at when you're going to worship and they speak about what's going on in other parts of the world. And you're like, oh, I want to go to Haiti. You know what I mean? You're influenced by the anointing, and all of a sudden you're focused on it and inspired. But then you go to work Monday morning. No, you try to go to work, and you have a flat tire in your car or on your bicycle. All these things in our everyday life just start to get bigger and bigger and bigger till you forget about what God is doing in Haiti. Reminder, it's okay. It's okay to be reminded. Let's not just chalk it off. Oh, I heard about the blood. Oh, I heard about this whole... No. If it's new, if the preacher's preaching, listen, let's be a hearer. Let's believe that God is preaching for a purpose that I might be reinvigorated. All right, when you hear preaching, it should cause you to feel guilty about sin, be thankful for forgiveness, and be hopeful for the future. You should also have a sense of how to accomplish the goal that God is trying to accomplish. Super important. You should have a sense of how to, for one. How many have heard preaching that says, we have to reach the lost? Now get out there. He's like, ooh. how am I going to reach the lost? There's so many. We should have a sense of how to. Amen? How are we going to accomplish not what the preacher wants us to accomplish? Not what the pastor wants us to accomplish, but what God wants us to accomplish. So many people have agendas. Remember, listen, the strategy, God is good. Can I get an amen? God is good. Any question about that? God is good. And God, because God is good, He gives good gifts.
Yes.
The devil does not like it that God gives good gifts. And he's out there to mess with the gifts. He's out there to make sure that what God wants isn't going to happen. He's out there to make sure that the gift that God has given is not going to be well received or discredited. So much so, let's listen to this for a minute. How many have been a part around the shepherding movement? There was a movement back when pastors or shepherds, and then they start to like micromanage the sheep. It's like, oh, you didn't ask me if you could marry her. Well, wait a minute, hang on. Okay, it's called the shepherding movement. There was a movement in the church. How many believe that it's God's plan for you in our culture, where we are right now, to pick your spouse? Could it be? How many believe that it's the pastor's job to pick your spouse? I don't know. It'd be rough, wouldn't it, if you lived in a culture where it was the pastor's job to pick your spouse? It's like, oh, it's a little matchmaker up here. I don't like this. Okay, I'm going to make some arrangements up here. That was going on. Okay? What did that do to the person who's sitting in the congregation and that authority figure is doing that type of thing? Their agenda, not God's agenda. What does it do to your soul? It gives you an injury. It hurts you. Right? What is that? God gave apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists for what? To micromanage you?
No.
To dominate you? To be a tyrant over you? What did he give that gift? In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, God gave gifts
to equip
the saints for the works of service, that we would be thoroughly equipped. So what the devil did, God gave a good gift, and the devil comes in and hurts that. So it's like, oh, I've been hurt by a pastor before. I can't trust pastors. What happens to you then if you can't trust a pastor? You won't receive what? It's not them. It's the office. Amen? God gave the office of pastor. He didn't give me God's gift to man right here. Look at my new sneakers. That's not what this is about. It's an office, God's government. God gave the office of a pastor, not a person. We are not God's gift to men and women. Amen? Okay, but the devil is hurt. So that's what we're talking about. The devil is out there to injure so that we can't be thoroughly equipped. Amen? So we should have an idea of what God is trying to accomplish and what he wants to accomplish to me and through me, and come into agreement with that. All right, so now this is your part in 2 Timothy 4:3. I've already bashed on the pastors, okay? 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How many like hearing the preaching over and over about sound doctrine? But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to these charismatic preachers. these preachers and teachers who are, their agenda is to establish a group of people that they can influence. It's about them. Okay? And they'll say things that you like to hear. They'll tickle your ears. You'll be like drawn in and you want to hear that. It makes you feel good. But guess what? Sometimes an anointed preacher preaches and you feel guilty about sin in your life. People sometimes don't want to hear that. That's when you get this church hopping thing. They're going around, they're listening to all the prophets. I want to get a word from the Lord and I want to hear about my destiny and all this other stuff. But when it comes to the time of submitting to a preaching by the Holy Ghost that talks about sin and overcoming sin and discipline and all the difficult things, I don't want to hear that. And we'll go find a church that has worshiptainment. Huh? You ever hear of worshiptainment? Worshiptainment. It's the whole rock band up front with the light show and everything. Nothing against that. Nothing against instruments and lights and all that. It's the motive, isn't it? It's the motive of the heart. You know the difference when you're being entertained or when you're a part of worship. Amen? Okay, so look it. We all have a responsibility here, don't we?
Yes.
The preacher has a responsibility and the listener has a responsibility. All right, what's the goal? What is the goal? To be spirit-filled. Why? That's the only way the kingdom can come. God is not going to strike the earth with a lightning bolt of the kingdom. It's like, all right, it's time for New York to get the kingdom. Boom! The kingdom come in the Bronx. Hallelujah. Who's praying? Oh, Fisher's Island's praying. Boom! The kingdom come in Fisher's Island. He's not randomly zapping and he's not zapping. How is the kingdom going to come? Where's the kingdom?
Yes.
It's in the believer, isn't it?
Yes.
The kingdom is in us. All right? So we've been talking about this for a long time. Are you okay now with repetition? Because what's the goal? What's the purpose of preaching? It's my job to make sure we get it. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to say it 1,000 different times. I know why I'm on the planet. It's to preach this message. I've been preaching it now for 25 years. It's the same message. I look back all my notes. I've preached the same message for 25 years. It's all about the release of the Spirit. It's all about understanding that Jesus died for my sins. He sprinkled me with His blood and made my temple pure.
Yes.
That I am in right standing with God. I've been sanctified not by my behavior, not by my discipline. I've been sanctified and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. He is the perfect one. He was the one who presented His hands and feet. He's the one who was sacrificed. He's the one who laid down His life as the blemish-free lamb, that I can be sanctified, that I can be righteous, that I can be justified.
Yes. Yes,
hallelujah. I am the temple. And so the Holy Spirit can live in me now. Not because I became a good person, but because I've been sanctified by the blood.
Thank
now
you,
His
Lord.
Holy Spirit is in me.
Yes.
Now the challenge is the release of the Spirit. Okay? So, to be filled with the Spirit is the goal. If we lose track of what we're trying to accomplish, we will be susceptible to getting off track. Okay? Because there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices out there that are trying to get us off track. We have one goal. As long as we're on the planet, is to be filled with the Spirit. How many believe Jesus was Spirit-filled? Jesus was Spirit-filled. He was dominated by the Spirit. He did only what His Father wanted Him to do. Only what He saw and heard of the Father, He did. So now He said, I am going and you are going to take my place. Not just as an individual, but as a body, as a group of people. And the devil is out there to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want you and me to represent our Father. He wants us to misrepresent. He wants us to have the Christian bumper sticker and the Christian hat and the Christian t-shirt, but he wants us to live like hell. He wants our outer person to dominate. And I want you to know that as long as our outer person is dominating, that we are living like hell. There's no getting around it. You cannot be an outward dominated person and live like heaven. They're at enmity with one another. So we need to find a place. How many hate your outer person? Some people do. How many believe? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I hate my outer person. But, listen, your outer person is a gift. Your brain is a gift. Your tongue is a gift. Your emotions are a gift. Imagine if you didn't have emotions. Imagine if you didn't have a brain. Imagine if you didn't have a tongue. What would life be like? You'd be left wanting. You want these things, but we hate them. Why? Because they get off track. They go wild. They go crazy. The inner person is heartbroken when our outer person does dumb stuff. Have you ever said anything that you regretted? What did I hear? Oh, please. How many have had a sin hangover because your tongue did something that was not motivated by the Holy Ghost? All of us. How many have been blessed to speak a word in season? What a great privilege. If you've gone over to somebody and said, "Brother, sister, I feel like God wants me to share this with you." And tears start rolling down their cheeks, and you say, you have no idea what that meant to me. I shared this testimony. I was blessed to be able to share at a fellowship up in Vermont. And a young woman came up to me. She's pregnant. And she said, "I was inspired during the message to name my baby Hope. Because I was preaching about the next generation and the hope for the next generation." I want you to know, I take that serious. Somebody could have walked up to me and gave me a 1 ounce gold coin, and it wouldn't have meant as much as that young lady coming up and said, "I was inspired by the words that were coming out of your mouth." Hallelujah, huh? Your tongue is a gift.
Yes.
But it gets us into trouble. Amen? So this is the message. The instruction that the Lord has been providing us is instrumental to our succeeding at accomplishing the goal. Okay? Identifying what spirit, soul, and body is and how to bring them all under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we have need of reminding. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, present your body a living sacrifice. It doesn't look like it got it all. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable and acceptable service. It's Romans 12:1. It didn't get up on the PowerPoint. Sorry about that. Present your body, which is your outer man, a living sacrifice. Okay? Listen. Anyone can blow yourself up for some God. Anyone can do that. Anyone in this room could blow yourself up for some God. Be done with it. All you got to do is either get drunk enough or muster up, you know what I mean? Rally. Get your head in that frame of mind, and you could put on a dynamite pack and blow yourself up in the name of some God. Anyone can do that. It's easier than living for the one true God. Anyone who's been going through this endeavor, how many have gone from glory to glory? Huh? We went from glory to glory together? Amen? Anyone who's in that process of going from glory to glory knows that it would be easier. At some point you might have said, "Just give me a vest. Let me go blow myself up and get this over with." It's hard to present your body as a living sacrifice. It is hard to live for the one true God. It's hard to deny yourself. It's hard to bring your thoughts into captivity. It's hard to cast down imaginations. It's hard to control your tongue. It's hard to bring your emotions into the subjection of the Holy Ghost. It's hard. So here's the conclusion of the message coming to. One of the biggest little tools is this little word, Selah. Pausing is the most amazing little tool. I'm not 100% Spirit-led yet. Huh? I'm not 100% Spirit-led. I'm heading there. Who's heading there? Are you heading to being 100% Spirit-led, Spirit-filled? Huh? I am. I'm heading that way. And listen, I can attribute all the success that I've been experiencing lately, and I want you to know that it's been a lot. I've been experiencing, it's a change of seasons, I'm going through something, I've broken through to another level.
Hallelujah.
I am experiencing God's presence, I'm experiencing something that I've never experienced before. And I'm attributing it, all of it, to what we've been learning. We're learning about how to bring our thoughts captive to Christ.
Yes.
We're learning how to cast down imaginations. We're learning not coming into agreement with runaway emotions. We're learning to not let words come out of our mouth that didn't come from the Holy Ghost. And we're learning to not have a downcast countenance. Okay, the test. I'm going to share this test with you. Because we've been hearing about the kingdom. How many believe that if your life is good, how many believe if you have plenty of money, how many believe if you are healthy and everything is perfect, that it'd be pretty easy for you to have a good countenance? How many believe if all your friends were perfect, everybody was perfect, that it'd be easy for you to talk good about them? How many believe that everything was perfect, that to do everything that we've been learning about would be pretty easy? God does not do that. We are in the garden that grows weeds. You can't weed the garden once and just have it be perfect. It's a perpetual job. Amen? So, God, in His goodness and in His infinite wisdom, has put us into positions where we have the opportunity to practice what we've been learning. Been learning how to deal with runaway emotions. And so I'm going to share a little testimony from last night. This is my little test. Last night was awesome. I had one of the best times at worship that I've ever experienced. And Ashley was here, and some other people, like, what was there, like 8, 9, 10 people from the fellowship house that came? It was awesome, right? We just came, we had a normal setup, we had normal time for Saturday night. And we kind of ran through the songs pretty quickly. And all these people started coming through the door. And they just kept coming through the door, coming through the door.
Yes,
like,
hallelujah.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So I want you to hear, we're talking about the outward person, which is made up of our mind, our emotions, our will, our personality. That's all that stuff. In the inner person, the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Amen? I want you to hear what's going on with me when all these people start walking through the door. You're going to be ashamed of your pastor if you call me pastor. You might call me pastor. Okay. I started to have thoughts race through my mind. What should we do? Are we going to have church? Should I preach now? How many are glad I didn't start preaching? My wife raises her hand high. What are we going to do? Where am I? Am I going to preach? I hope they don't just leave. While this was happening, you know what happened? Because of all the discipline, because of what I've been going through, you know what I did? Say it out loud. Selah. Selah. I didn't run with the first thought. I didn't jump because you know what happens with your first thought? Your emotions go, good idea! And how many know the power of agreement can work against us just as strong as it can work for us? The power of agreement is really a powerful thing. It can move heaven and earth, but it can work against you. When your mind and your emotions come into agreement, you can become a force to be reckoned with. But unfortunately, if it's a bad thought, and your emotions are going, yeah, that's a good idea, let's do that. Your heart starts beating and all this stuff starts coming into agreement. Then your will goes, boom, stamp of approval, we're in. And you just make a big mess of things because your outer man dominated. All right? Selah, I paused. I didn't open my mouth and I didn't get overwhelmed by runaway emotions. All I knew was, we're not done here. That's the Holy Spirit. My thoughts are saying this, and this, but the Holy Spirit in me is going, we're not done here. There's a knowing. When you have a knowing, latch on to the one little thing that you know. Hold on to that and Selah. Amen? Are you getting a sense of how to?
Yes.
How to do it? Okay, don't open my mouth, didn't get overwhelmed. Here we go. We're not done here. One of the girls, hello. One of the girls, is this okay? Do you mind me putting on the spot, Ashley? Okay. Came forward to sing. She goes, I'll sing.
Awesome.
And she came up and started to sing in the microphone. And it clicked for me. I says, okay, this is next step. Next step. We're not done here. And then, listen, where am I? We're not down here. It started to roll. But then Dion wanted to play the drums. Not plat the drums, but play the drums. Here goes my mind again. Oh no, we're going to lose the momentum. I should say something to her and just keep doing what we're doing. We can play the drums next week. How many like that little skit playing in your mind all the time? Praise God for His grace, and I'm so grateful for staying on the altar. Okay, how many believe that your body wants to wiggle off the altar? It's a living sacrifice. I'm like, no, you're staying there. You're not going to get your way. Selah. Just pause. You know what? One of the devil's greatest strategies is, you better hurry up and say something. You better hurry up and do something. You better hurry up. The chances, how many believe you have to act quickly sometimes? There are times in your life that you have to react. But 99.999% of the time, we don't need to act or say or get into agreement with something as fast as our outer man is wanting us to. We leap, we jump, we say, we do. And the God's going, oh, there they go again. Okay? So hallelujah for the altar. Hallelujah for 25 years of discipline. How many can say amen?
Amen.
25, yeah, say amen. You say amen now. Yeah, I wanted to play the drums. Oh, great. I praise God for His grace. I didn't say anything. Selah. And Dion brought out the drums. And it opened up a door. One person got on the drums. Another person got on the drums. Another person got up. Everybody started. I'll show you a picture. This whole place filled up. Did you have fun last night?
Yes, I did.
Dion? Lisa, it was awesome. It was one of my favorite times of worship ever. It was so cool because everybody has gifts. And if I stuck with my way of thinking, if I got into agreement with me and my brain and my thoughts, we would have had a good time. I'm sure of it. We have good times on Saturday. But it would have been a less than experience compared to what God had in store. I would have never known that Ashley has such a beautiful voice. I would have never known that Xavier wanted to play drums, or Chris. I would have never known that Antoinette was a worship leader, you know what I mean? Or people, we had someone from China here last night. someone else from Russia, a bunch of people from Jamaica. I would have never known that all these gifts would have made such an awesome recipe. It made an awesome recipe. All right? And it's all because of the pause. The pause in the Bible, if you want to look for a Selah in the Bible, look to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26 is the account of Jesus having a Selah. Do you want to know how to be victorious? Do you want to know how to not manifest the outer man and ruin things all the time? Look to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus didn't run into a situation. He didn't. He Selah. He took his time. He spent time with his Heavenly Father. He understood what the goal was. He did not allow the outer man to dominate. He took his time. Don't let anyone rush you through a decision. Spend time with your Heavenly Father. The decision to speak, the decision not to speak, the decision to come into agreement with someone else, the decision to act. Don't let anything or anyone rush you. It's not that important. The important thing is thy kingdom come. 99.9% of the times when you rush into something, you're not bringing the kingdom. You're bringing the outer man, which is corruption and destruction. It can't be encouraging. It can't speak life. It can't edify. Now, to finish, God has so much more. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It's written, eye is not seen nor ear heard, nor is entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
So is, hallelujah.
You can move toward your future with your brain in control and your emotions in control, and you can get what you set your heart to accomplish. But I want you to know, if you have not been consulting your Heavenly Father, if you have not been submitting to Him, if you have not come to Him and walk with Him and deny yourself, make your mind be obedient, make your tongue be obedient, make your emotions be obedient, make that outer man the gift, be obedient to the Holy Ghost, we will live a less than experience. I would have missed out on one of the most amazing times last night. And there's more. There's so much more than you can dream of. The cost is great. The cost is the cross. The cost is the cross. But it's worth it. That's all I can say. I hope that you're encouraged to believe that what God has for you is worth it.
Yes, Lord.
What God has for your family is worth the cross. It's worth the pain. It's worth the suffering. What God has for your fellowship is worth the cross. What God has for your community through you is worth the cross. What God has for a loved one. How many know of a loved one that's suffering? How many believe that God wants to flow through you with life and love?
Yes.
And hallelujah. I don't know if you can see. Can you see that? A little shady.
Oh, what a great God we serve. Hallelujah. Yes, what a great God, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So, I'm so glad I didn't miss out on that. Let's take a minute.
Pastor.
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.